Welcome to Deeper Insights, a podcast produced by Construction and Demolition Recycling Magazine that takes you deeper into the stories featured on our covers. You'll hear the voices of the leaders of demo firms, aggregate recyclers, and mixed C&D recyclers as they share their stories of growth, challenges, and successes, and hopes for the future. We'll learn about the history of the industry, its people, and the new technology that will lead it to greater heights.
Hi, this is Haley Richard, Associate Editor of Construction and Demolition Recycling Magazine. Welcome to Deeper Insights, a podcast where we dig deeper into the subjects of our magazine's cover profiles. Today we'll be talking to Mark Lee and Ryan Sinsale of Trifecta Demolition, a demolition firm based in Charlotte, North Carolina. In this episode, they will discuss their start in the industry and the lessons they learned prior to starting their own business.
So, to start off, and feel free to for both of you to jump in whenever you want. I kind of wanted to get just a bit of background on the company as a whole, kind of what led to its formation, how you guys started, and what the whole story is there.
You taking lead on this one, Mark Lee?
Sure. So the three of us had ran the Southeast for one of the largest demolition contractors in the nation, and through some mergers and acquisitions, we felt like we could build a team and a group that could perform better, safer, and more responsible than our current employer. And we believed in ourselves and took a leap of faith and jumped off and started Trifecta and started building the team.
And you mentioned that there were three of you. So who's the third person?
Yep. So myself, Mark Lee, and then Ryan Sinsale, and then Sam Shaw is our third. And Sam is the minority piece of Trifecta, and Trifecta is a certified minority contractor across the U.S.
Gotcha. And have you guys always focused exclusively on the demo space, or have you ever dabbled in construction?
The primary focus has been, yes, the demolition in the environmental space. Well, demolition, environmental, and recycling. Those are the three kind of pillars of our business model. The three of us form the Trifecta, as well as those three lines of work contribute to the Trifecta in our industry. But we dabble a little bit. I mean, we do some site work. We've done some underground. We've done a little bit of putback here, there. But for the most part, yeah, we focus just on the demolition space.
I know that you had mentioned why you decided to form your own company was because of some of the morals that you had that differed from your last company. So with Trifecta, I was curious what your business philosophy is for this company and what you kind of think it takes to be successful in the demolition space.
I would say, you know, first and foremost, you know, construction is still a service industry. So, you know, part of a service industry is relationships and having a good product. So we provide a service, and in our opinion, we provide the best product. So maintaining those relationships and making sure, you know, not just having the best product, but, you know, when having the best product means having the best, you know, team to service that product. So in this situation, you know, the demolition space being our product or the environmental space being our product, you know, the team we've built around it, whether it be our, you know, operations team or our sales team, you know, putting folks in those places and hiring and curating a culture that understands, you know, this isn't about just getting a job done. This is about taking care of the client, making sure the project goes smoothly, making sure the project is safe. And at the same time, it is a business trying to make some money at doing that. So those are really kind of a lot of the reasons we formed the company. You know, we had some ideas of ways to do things better. But the foundation of our company is also built off of past proven methods of our past performance, where we were successful, and then we've figured out how to tweak it and make it better.
Yeah, just you know, we wanted to be able to take care of not only our customers but also our employees, and we try to, you know, as much as we've grown, we try to still instill a family atmosphere around the work and around the office and at the job site. And you know, we've got a number of employees who have been with us for, you know, close to 20 years at this point. So being able to, as you know, one of the reasons we started too was being able to take care of the guys that, you know, were taking care of us and getting the work done.
And this kind of transitions off of that, but your company's probably evolved a lot since you first started your first operation. So I was curious how things have kind of changed, what challenges have appeared, what opportunities have appeared in the fields that you specialize in, and just kind of the general landscape of your guys' service areas and the clients that you serve.
I mean, roles and positions have certainly shifted quite a bit when you go from Mark and I doing the manual labor and running the equipment and physically performing, you know, our first couple of projects to now, you know, we've got just shy of 250 employees. Now your role and position shifts, and now you've got a broad spectrum and arms wide open managing a really solid team. So from a company growth perspective, that's been an interesting challenge. Obviously, most businesses go through that are growing, but also the footprint that we operate in. We've gone from, you know, we started in the Carolinas, but we also have good relationships with clients and are willing to travel the nation for them. You know, at one point last year, we were doing a pretty large project in Washington State and a pretty large project in Florida. So
yeah, coast to coast.
Yeah. About as far apart as you can get on the continental US.
Yeah. And to touch off of what Ryan has said, you know, that's also been, you know, you asked what's changed. So that's been one of our real focuses, is while a lot of our technology and our bandwidth and, you know, the size of projects is changing, we've tried not to change the philosophy and the foundation of the company. Like Ryan said, you know, as much as this is about taking care of the clients and getting the projects done, a big portion of it and a big push for us was making sure the employees don't feel like just a number. You know, this work that we do is dangerous, and it takes a lot of training and it takes a lot of effort. And you know, that time we spend with our employees, you know, making sure that they know, hey, this ain't just a paycheck. This is, you know, we care about their well-being. We want to make sure they come home from every project safe, and we want to see them grow. We want to see them become better. We want to see them advance. We want to see them make more money. You know, those are the goals that we all have. And it's not just limited to ownership and upper management. This is the goal for, you know, everybody from the new hire that might be, you know, 18 years old and knows nothing about construction to, you know, a gentleman or a female that's, you know, 50, 60 years old and, you know, has been with us for, you know, the last 10 years. So that is, I'd say, maybe one of the biggest differences, I would say, in Trifecta versus others, is we really want our employees to know how much, you know, we care for them, because we can bid and estimate and sell all the work in the world, but without them, we can't get any of it done. So, you know, making sure they know how important they are to us is a you know, a big thing that we don't ever want to change, no matter how big we get. You know, if it's 1,000 employees one day, you know, we want to have those 1,000 employees know that they're all, you know, taken care of and valued, and, you know, not just a number. I mean, it's still to this day, I mean, we go out in the field, Ryan and myself and Sam, and we, you know, we know 90% of the guys, you know, by first name. We've worked with them side by side over the years. So that's been a tremendous point for our success.
And I wanted to dive a little deeper into that too. I was wondering if you guys employed any safety programs or just like anything distinct in order to instill that kind of belief in your employees that like you do really care and that this isn't just a job, that it's a lot bigger than that. And I was just curious if there were any formal things that you were doing to keep that alive.
Yeah, we have a pretty robust health and safety program. We kind of pride ourselves in doing a lot of industrial work and developing our safe work practices from, things we've learned and work from working in the industrial side for, you know, Fortune top 50 firms. And it's funny to see that transition now where, the stringent work practices and the safe work practices on the industrial side are now starting to bleed down into the commercial side. And we did a really good job of, when we founded our company and established our SMS, which is our health and safety program. Basically, it was based off of that industrial work ethic. And we didn't really have to do any updated training or change the culture or anything like that as the industrial safety culture started to bleed into general contracting. So we do that. We use a lot of technology-based systems. We use Field Flow. I don't know if you've heard that before, but we use program Field Flow that really helps track employee certifications for us. It helps provide a lot of the smaller trainings and provide some administrative support, you know, some controls as to like not letting guys work on sites if they don't have certain certs and stuff like that. So,
and given that you guys have maybe a different involvement in the demolition industry with being more of a boots on the ground effort, having run the machines yourself, and I was wondering if that gives you a different perspective as owners than maybe someone who might be more set apart from the actual work being done.
Yeah, I would say 100%. Me personally, and I know, not to speak for Ryan, I'll let him tell his story as well. But me personally, I mean, I grew up in the industry, coming up from picking up rebar and holding a fire hose to running a skid steer, cutting with a torch, running machines into the high reaches, and then into, the management side or the operation side, and then into sales and estimating, and then running a branch, and then, eventually, with these guys starting Trifecta. So for me, I can relate to all sides of it. I see the management side. I see the ownership side. I see the, low level employee to the mid level employee to, the management level employee. So I can relate to some of their frustrations. I can relate to, sometimes the mentality that, they have looking at a project versus, ownership looking at a project or upper management looking at a project. And, that's really one of the backbone pieces to our culture that we've built, which is taking care of the employees, because it is an important piece of the project, and, vice versa. They rely on us to make sure that, we're taking care of what we need to do on our end to get them to work, keep them employed, keep them going, be able to give them raises, be able to give them bonuses, all of those things. Because our industry is unfortunately got a bad reputation for not paying guys out on bonuses. That's at the heart of our core is you take care of us, we're going to take care of you. So.
Yeah. To that point, Mark and I, we like to joke that Mark was born with a torch in his hand, but no, he really did start at a young age in this industry. I got my start right in college, just working summers, but we both came up as laborers. So worked our way up through operating stuff. So we understand how hard some of the work is because we've done it, so we're constantly looking at projects. Hey, how can we make this easier on our guys? What technology can we implement? What new tools and equipment and machines are out there to lighten the load and, not only make us more productive, make us safer, and make the job easier for the guys.
And that actually leads into one of the questions that I had in the list about the technology and the tools that you guys use that might set you apart from other contractors. I know you mentioned FieldFlow for data tracking and some of the back end work. I was wondering if there's anything else that you guys use to make those projects go a little smoother.
I was going to say our equipment. You know, from the get go, we said, hey, the biggest, most technical pieces that can't be found, can't be rented, let's go buy those. And, you know, we've been able to build a substantial fleet of heavy equipment with, you know, the latest cutting edge technology. I mean, I would say Ryan's got a more accurate number on this, but 90% of our equipment is tier four. You know, hydraulic thumbs, processors, shears, hammers, rotating grapples, waste handling grapples, great control leveling kits, you name it, you know, we've got it. Brocked. I mean, even to the extent of, I mean, we've got a structural engineer on staff. So, and that's been a game changer for us. So there's, you know, I'll kind of leave it there and let Ryan piggyback off of that, because he can talk more specifics on the fleet management and equipment side of things.
Yeah, I mean, we use a messaging program that kind of helps streamline the communication between the field and the office, kind of real time, and also allows, you know, key stakeholders in the project to be kind of apprised of what's going on a hour-to-hour basis if necessary. From a field perspective, all our excavators are plumbed, open, close, rotate, and we've gone through great lengths to make sure that there's attachment compatibility through manufacturers and even when the case warrants through equipment sizing. Mark mentioned we've got a pretty robust fleet. We have a significant amount of excavators. I would say we have at least twice that in attachments, and making sure that any of those attachments that are appropriately sized for any machine can be put on any machine was a big push for us when we were just getting started.
Gotcha. And given the wide breadth of equipment that you have, I was wondering how you guys, one, make sure that everything's up to date, but also if you had any maintenance and plans in place to keep track of all of these things and make sure everything's up to par.
Yeah, we have Skynet. It's for our heavy equipment. It's a internet-based program that alerts you if there's anything wrong with it, alerts you of service intervals, that stuff like that. But we have a fleet of like 8 mechanics, and then that roam and go job to job. And then on larger projects, we'll station mechanics there and welders to handle services on machines. So we've got a very significant investment in our equipment fleet, and it's really a source of pride for us and something we're really passionate about. And it's something that we go to great lengths to make sure it stays in good working condition. You know, along with your people, that's what makes you the money as well.
And has the software that you guys implemented, as well as some of these mechanic based updates and things like that, has this been well received by your employees, and is it something that they also value coming to work for Trifecta?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mark and I both coming from sitting in the seat, pretty rough looking excavators over the years. You know, it is a little bit of a mentality shift, right, for employees who are used to, you know, equipment with scratches all over the counterweights and, you know, not replacing panels when they get dented and stuff like that. So I think initially it's a little bit of a learning curve, but it also the operators that take pride and take care of their stuff really, really enjoy it. And then it shows you, I come up to some of our guys in the machines, and the insides like armor all down, and they got a Windex bottle in there, and it looks like a Mercedes fresh off the line.
Kind of jumping from demolition a little bit to the other work that you do in more of the environmental space, I was wondering if you guys could tell me a bit about some of your recycling efforts and some of the things that you might be doing in that leg of work.
Sure. I mean, we have a landfill last approach, right? We try to first reuse stuff from projects, and if we can't reuse, recycle, and then landfill last. So I would say probably 85 to 90% of our work is meeting or exceeding a lead goal of 75% or more recovery.
Yes, I would agree with that statement. You know, Ryan's hitting on an important piece. You know, for us, you know, the management of the assets coming off the projects, I mean, that's been something that we do well. There's still guys that do it better than us. But it's an ongoing battle of, you know, knowing where you can reuse. We just recently completed a project that was a data center, and, you know, we were able to, in our asset sales, not recycling, but asset sales, so repurposing and reusing equipment that was in that building to the tune of, I think, $2.1 million in asset sales. So, you know, that was removing different components, whether it be electrical switch gear. Some of it was furniture type stuff. Some of it was generators. Some of it were chillers. Some of it was architectural components of the building itself. So, you know, getting creative, like Ryan said, and diverting it, you know, having that landfill last approach really has, you know, makes an impact on the project, makes an impact on the client. And at the end of the day, you know, it's doing what's best for, you know, the future. So, you know, our tagline is cleaning up the past, making way for the future. Well, how can we do that responsibly? And that landfill last approach is how we do it responsibly. You know, trying to divert that stuff, you know, environmental hazards. They may be an environmental hazard if you have to throw it away, but if it can be repurposed and reused and it still has lifespan left, that's what we try to do, so it does not have to end up in the landfill right off the get-go.
Are some of the more common commodities like used concrete and metals, I was wondering what methods you guys might employ to make sure that those are recycled or diverted from landfill, and if you work with any C&D recyclers in the areas that you work in to have that material taken care of.
No, I was just going to say most of our recycling efforts take place on the site. So typically our sorting is handled at the site level, whether that's, you know, sorting, separating C&D from concrete, from CMU block, from brick, from steel, and then even sorting the different grades of steel for recycling.
So just to give you some, these are going to be somewhat round numbers, but last year we recycled over 24 million pounds of aluminum. We recycled over 3.8 million pounds of copper. And we recycled, total number was 34,000, almost 35,000 tons of steel last year. And the concrete number I do not have off the top of my head, but every project we go to, you know, you asked about specific recyclers that we work with, because we work all over the nation. I mean, we've got some in Charlotte that we work with on a regular basis. We've got some in Texas that we work with on a regular basis. A lot of that stuff is, you know, the masonry side of recycling, but, you know, we also work with carpet recyclers. We work with some drywall recyclers in select locations where the market has lent itself to that. Same with ceiling tile, all kinds of stuff.
And when you guys are performing the demolition, are there any things that you keep in mind or anything that you make sure that the operators of your equipment are keeping in mind in order to recover as much material as they can from these sites?
I mean, we train all our operators on the different diversion streams, right? So they've got to be aware of it. As Mark was saying, we do work all over the country, and there are different vendors that take different products different ways, varies across the country. So for instance, like in Charlotte, we have a really hard time recycling any kind of red brick mixed with concrete. That's a no-go, right? But you may work in Tennessee, and there's a vendor that is able to take that for recycling. And so prior to starting demo of the structure, we'll identify the different waste streams that are going to be generated from the project, and where those are going to go and what can be mixed. So the operators will be trained on how to kind of maintain that diversion stream as we're working through the process.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Deeper Insights. We hope you enjoyed the conversation, and be sure to stay tuned for our upcoming episodes.